Psalm 46, we're going to read all 11 verses, and I want to preach to you tonight on no fear for the new year. No fear in the new year. Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see that? It's a wonderful verse of Scripture. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof that make the glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her and will help her right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder, and he burneth the chariots of fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Well, this is our first in-person service of 2021. And if you took the time to observe any kind of media last Thursday, which was New Year's Eve, it was clear that all people seemed to talk about was how ready and eager they were for 2020 to go away. It was an interesting year, wasn't it? In fact, I did a Google search on Monday morning of the major headlines of 2020. I want to take you back down that road, if you'll let me, tonight. It all began on January the 3rd, 2020, when Iranian terrorist Qasem Soleimani was killed in a drone strike by the United States. In fact, if you'll remember all the way back then, a year ago, feels like 10 years ago, but a year ago there was talks about our president leading America into World War III. Unfortunately, those talks settled and it did not occur, but that's how 2020 began. It began with this drone strike killing Iranian terrorist Qasem Soleimani. Just a few days later, on January the 9th, 2020, the World Health Organization announced news about this deadly virus that has seemingly emerged from Wuhan, China. And a couple of weeks later, on January the 21st, the United States CDC announced its first confirmed coronavirus case in the state of Washington. February the 5th, 2020, our nation went through the impeachment trial of our president, where he was charged with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. Later that month, he was eventually acquitted, but it again was a stain on our nation's highest office. We move into March, and on March the 9th, the 12th, and the 16th, the stock market saw its worst ever days, marking the official entrance of our nation into a global health crisis. This was the time during 2020 when our nation officially began to shut down. It was the weekend of Man Up. In fact, as churches were on their way to gather with us for the Man Up conference, I'm watching the news headlines in my office trying to figure out what in the world is going on and what will that do for our ministry Collegiate and professional athletic seasons began to be canceled that particular weekend. The Olympics were announced that they would not be having their sporting event during the summertime. Businesses that were not deemed essential began to be shut down in March. And even our church, just that particular weekend, began a season of forced cancellations. We move into the month of April, and what was in March 15 days to flatten the curve, in April turned into 30 days to stop the spread. By the end of the month, the death toll has surpassed over 100,000 Americans died from COVID-19. On May the 4th, 2020, our nation experienced a new crisis. Are you ready? A giant insect first spotted in Washington State, known as the murder hornets. It had arrived, and now America was threatened with attacks of hornets that could take your life. On a more serious level, it was that month that our nation was rocked by the death of Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd, which sparked a new season of violent and deadly protests throughout the streets of America. We move into June, and these protests, and even in some places, riots continued to run the headlines of our daily news throughout the summer months, wondering as to what would unfold ahead. We come to July the 4th, 2020, and our country celebrated its independence by being told we couldn't gather to celebrate our independence. That's how July 4th was for us. We move into August. Most of our schools were shut down as classes went virtual. Our former Vice President Joe Biden was named the Democratic nominee for U.S. President. We come into September of 2020, and it was reported that the death toll from the coronavirus had now surpassed 200,000 deaths in the United States alone. It was also in the month of September that Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died at age 87 after battling pancreatic cancer. We come into October. Not only was the issue surrounding the Supreme Court bringing once again another stain on our nation's highest offices, but it was also during that time that President Trump and his wife Melania tested positive for COVID-19, where he was treated and later released without complications from Walter Reed Medical Center. November the 3rd, 2020, at least in my lifetime, was the most contentious presidential election that I've ever seen, circling with accusations of fraud and corruption. Joe Biden was eventually named president-elect. Of course, all of this, even this evening, is still running through the headlines of our news here in 2021. December the 16th, 2020, one of our local police officers, Jason Schuping of Concord, was killed while responding to an attempted carjacking. He was only 25 years old and had only been serving the city of Concord for 18 months. And then the bombing in downtown Nashville on Christmas Day. It's as if 2020 couldn't get any worse. By the way, this doesn't even include the wildfires and the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the cyclones, the resurgence of Ebola and the ongoing international military conflict that is existing worldwide. And yes, just this evening, a great scar on who we are as Americans as we see such evil and unnecessary retaliation from people who are blinded by reality. From pandemics to protests to politics to, again, murder hornets, 2020 has been a year for the history books, hasn't it? But here we are, we're in 2021, and the truth is, as we have seen this week and today especially, it's really not all that certain that things are going to be any better. Who knows what the next 12 months will be like for us? We're getting new and very different leadership in our nation's highest offices in Congress. Although vaccines are rolling out, there really is no sign of easing up on any government restrictions at this point. And we have a massively long way to go in our economy. And even on the first Sunday of the year, 2021. Our church here locally has already had to pause gatherings due to uncertainties about COVID infections. It's very likely tonight, church, that 2021 will be more of the same. A lot more of the same. In fact, I've heard some people even identify 2021 as the sequel. 2020, the sequel. So on that note, let me just say for the very first time here as a church family in 2021, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I'm glad you're in church tonight. The truth is, when we think about all of this, it can mentally and emotionally be draining to all of us as we consider the things that are transpiring around us. And if I'm not careful, even in my own mind, I will grow tired and weary and anxious, fearful, perhaps even discouraged. But tonight, church family, I want us to be encouraged. As we gather around and see everything that is happening around our lives, I want us to be encouraged by God's truth. I want us to take God's word tonight and let it equip us to approach this new year with no fear. That yes, COVID is still here. And church, I'm telling you, I don't think it's ever going away. I think it's a new reality that we're just going to have to live with. Politics are as tense as we've ever seen them. Who knows what the next murder hornet reality may be. No, it's not getting any better. But yet, we as God's people can come into 2021 living our lives in the new year with no fear. You see, as believers, we are not pessimists. We are optimists. And when I say we are optimists, I don't mean that we have this some kind of wishful thinking. No, what I'm saying is as Christians, we are optimists because we have a hope that is firmly fixed in the sovereign God of the universe. Pessimists like to say, well, I'm just realist. The truth of the matter is when God moves into our hearts and we have an opportunity to see who He is and what He has done for us and what our future is like in Christ, it is wrong for us not to live the Christian life with an optimistic view. To be a Christian is to be an optimist, church. Because we are grounded in hope, not fear. We are grounded in rest, not panic. We are grounded in faith, not fantasy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Church, listen carefully to me tonight. We cannot lose heart. We cannot grow anxious. We cannot give in to fear. Why? Because we know that all things work together for good by the sovereign hand of Almighty God. No fear in the new year. We cannot allow fear to run our lives when God has given us hope in His being. We consider our psalm tonight. Notice verse number 2. He says in Psalm 46 and verse 2, therefore we will not fear. We will not fear, verse 3, no matter what is taking place around us. He uses this illustration of natural disasters in verses 2 and 3. He says the earth may be removed, the mountains may be carried into the seas, the waters may roar and be troubled, mountains will shake with the swelling. It's as if he's giving us this picture that all around us there may be natural disasters that threaten us, natural disasters that might have a tendency to bring our lives into this panic. But even though the earth crumbles, he says, as believers, we will not fear. We'll not fear natural disasters. In fact, if you go forward to verse 6 and 9, he says, we're not even going to fear national chaos. Look at the language that he uses in verse 6. The heathen, they were raging. And the kingdoms, they were moving about. But look what God did. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So what the psalmist is saying here is we will not fear no matter what is going on. We will not fear the natural disasters that could come our way. We will not fear the national chaos that may be going on around us. And church family, do we need this psalm tonight or what? You and I, as God's children, need to be confident about how to live these days with faith instead of fear. Not to walk and live our lives in trepidation, looking over our shoulder, wondering if I'm going to be the next one that life takes out. No, that is not the reason why God saved us. It is not the spirit in which He has come to give us to the gift of His Son, Jesus. We need to have courage in these days. And we need to have confidence that no matter what is going on around us, we will not fear. Why? Because we belong to God. Because we belong to God. Let's let the Bible answer this question for us tonight. The question of how can we have no fear in the new year. You just, Pastor, rattled off all of these different things that took place in 2020 that has brought fear into our lives. We've turned on the news tonight. We see what's happening in our nation's capital. And you're here to tell me that I am to live my life without fear. What if I get the pandemic? Well, what if my life ends? What if I get this bad news? What if these disasters take place around us? How in the world do you expect me to live this year with no fear? Three answers he gives us in the psalm. Number one, because he is with us. That's the first reason. We can live this year with no fear because God is with us. Look at it in verse number one. God is our refuge and strength. Politics are not our refuge and strength. Isolation is not our refuge and strength. Masks are not our refuge and strength. No. God is our refuge. God is our strength. And what is He to us? Look at the very next phrase in verse 1. He is a very present help in trouble. I love that phrase. He's not just a help when we're in trouble. He is a present help when we are in trouble. He is a very present help in trouble. You know what that means? That word very, it just simply means He is abundant in His help toward us. He is abundant in His presence with us. He is abundantly present. He is abundantly available to help His children when in trouble. You see, tonight, we can be fearless, verse 2. We will not fear, he says. We can be fearless, verse 2, because of verse 1. He is always present with us. Church, if God is with us and in us, then what reason do we have to be afraid of anyone or anything? Honestly, tonight, what are you so afraid of? If God is in you, if God is with you, why are you so anxious? Why are you so scared? Why are we so nervous? That's the context of the first three verses. The earth's crumbling. Yes. The mountains are being carried into the sea. Big deal, he says. Everything may crumble around us. but never I, for God is with me. God is in me, and He is always available to help me, though trouble exists all around. Then we see Him described in verse 4 as a peaceful river. I love this analogy. Look at it in verse 4. There is a river, the psalmist says. There is a river. The metaphor is speaking of the presence of God. The presence of God is like this calming, peaceful river. The place where you might would go and sit alongside of the banks, and you're in the woods, and all the hustle and bustle of society around you is drowned out because you're just taking in the meditation of the presence of this peaceful river. He says that's what the presence of God is like. It's like this peaceful, calming river where the streams make glad the city of God. He's saying God is that peaceful river. And God is that peaceful river that makes the people of God glad. Are you glad tonight? Are you living your life with joy? If not, then perhaps you have neglected the presence of God that is in you, that is with you. He is that peaceful river that calms us in life's most troubling days. The peace of God is what makes us glad. The presence of God is what wipes away our fears. The knowledge that He is with us always is what causes us to rejoice in turmoil. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 4 that He is this tabernacle, that the tabernacle of God is us, and He is with us, and He is in us, and we are in Him. Therefore, He is our strength. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is our hiding place. He is the wings that shelter us. Run to Him, for He has run to you. He is the place in which we bring all of our fears and anxieties. It is in His presence that we can go forward in courage and not hopelessness. Church, rejoice in the presence of God tonight. Let us not allow the disasters around us to take our joy away. We have His presence, and we can hope in Him because He will never disappoint us. He will never disappoint us. The things I saw on television tonight were quite disappointing. I haven't felt so disappointed as an American in many, many years. But I was only reminded that my King, my one and only King, my Messiah, will never disappoint me. He will never let me down. He is with me and I in Him, and we can hope in Him. That's why you don't need to fear what may come about in the new year. Because He is with you now. He will be with you in death. And He will be with you for all eternity. I've been talking about the book of Hebrews a lot. In fact, Kathleen's heard me talk about it so much, she started ordering these New Testament journals where they have one book of the Bible. I think you get them from Crossway, right? It's from Crossway Publishers. It has one book of the Bible, and so you have the scripture passage on one side, and on the other passage, just blank notebooks. And so she saw one that I had in my office from the book of Romans, and I believe Jared actually gives one out to every member of his church or every guest in his church when they come through the preaching series. Well, she's heard me talk about Hebrews so much, she's just banking on me going to Hebrews next. And so when I came in yesterday, I noticed sitting on the desk, there's a Hebrews scripture journal. And so she better hope that I don't change my mind between now and the time we conclude Colossians. Let me share with you one of my favorite verses in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13, 5. The Bible says that God speaks this to His people. He says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what God has said to us. I am with you, I am in you, and I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And the very next verse in chapter 13 and verse 6 is the believer's response to that. God has said to us, I will never leave you. I am in you, I will always be with you. And verse 6 says, therefore we say to him, the Lord is our helper. Therefore we will not fear what man may do to us. The Lord is always with us. Why should we fear what may happen to us? Another verse in Hebrews 2, I won't take you there. But it really is concerning in light of the pandemic to receive messages and to hear people in the media and other places just be, especially believers, just be so scared of dying. Is that not concerning to you as a Christian? That so many voices of professing believers are trembling at the thought of death. Hebrews 2 and verse 14 is clear. That when Christ died, He died to free us from the fear of death. If Christ died to free us from the fear of death, then tell me why, believers, are we so fearful of death right now? This is not the spirit of the gospel. Jesus said in John chapter 11, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And as soon as he said that, he turned around and looked at them and he said, do you believe this? Do you believe that whoever believes in me will never die? And I ask you the same question tonight. Do you believe this? And why are we so fearful? We ought to rejoice at His presence in our lives, that even in the fear of death, His presence fades that fear away. You know why you can have no fear in the new year? Because He is with us. He is with us. Write down the second one. Because He is sovereign over all things. Because He is sovereign over all things. This brings us to verse 8. And what the psalmist does here is he invites us in verse number 8 to come and behold who it is that is in control of all of this. All right? He's talking about the earth crumbling, the oceans swallowing up the earth, all these natural disasters. In verse 6, he talks about the national calamity and chaos that is going on. The nations are raging. The kingdoms are collapsing. Civil wars are breaking out. And then he says in verse 8, look at this. Come, let me show you something. Come and behold, look at it there, the works of the Lord, that He hath done this. Come, church. Look at all that is going on around us. This is being allowed by the sovereign hand of God. He is in control over all of it. This is the work of His power. He, verse 8 says, hath made these desolations. In verse 9, He is responsible for how the wars turn out. He breaks the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burns the chariots with fire. This is obviously not an exhaustive list, but it's a reminder that in the midst of the context in which this was written, these national chaotic moments that were going on around, it was to remind us that God is not asleep, that things have not got out of His control. No, He is the one responsible for it all. What a difference that makes when we truly believe that God is sovereign. Do you believe this? Do you believe that God is sovereign? That He is sovereign over political changes? that he is sovereign over the wars of men, that he is sovereign over pandemics, that he is sovereign over every category of your life? Church, the antidote to fear is trusting in the sovereign plan of God. Now, we may wonder why God chose us to live in a period of time in which he is bringing these things to pass. And we may never know the answer to those questions other than acknowledging tonight that God is in control of it all. One of my favorite quotes from Charles Spurgeon. You know I quote him a lot, right? One of my favorite quotes of Charles Spurgeon. He said, "The sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which the child of God rests his head at night, giving perfect peace through heavy trial." Don't you love that? The sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which the child of God rests his head at night, giving perfect peace through heavy trial. Church, let's come into 2021 with no fear. Let's not live our lives with fear anymore, because he is with us, because he is sovereign over all things. And then write down this third thing: because he will accomplish his purposes. Because he will accomplish his purposes. He is with us, he is sovereign, and his sovereignty reminds us that he will accomplish his purposes. So look at verse number 10. Be still. Be still, he says. Or here's another way of translating that little Hebrew phrase. It's as if God is saying to us, stop. Stop. Be still. Very much like my wife has had to say to a number of my children tonight, sit still, stop. It's what God is saying to his children. It is what God is saying to you and to me tonight. Stop. Be still. Stop living your lives so unsettled. Stop worrying. Stop being fearful. Stop being anxious. Hey, stop living in panic mode. Stop believing every conspiracy story. Stop, he says, verse 10. And know. Know what? Know that I am God. I'll ask you a question tonight. Is your words and actions giving testimony that you know he is God? That you know he is in control? Friend, it's important that we know this, that we stop our anxiousness, that we stop our fear, that we rest, that we get still, and know God never makes a mistake. And know that God has a purpose in every detail that he carries out in our lives. It's time we stop and know that God is allowing all of this to happen for reasons of his radiant glory and his perfect will. Know this, the scripture says. Know what? Know that I will be exalted. In other words, stop your worrying, stop your panicking, stop your fearfulness, and know that I will accomplish my purpose of making my glory known in the earth. You see, the Bible is very clear from beginning to end that God will be glorified even in the seemingly chaos of this earth, even in the chaos of what appears to be in your life. He will fulfill his purposes. I think sometimes we forget who God is. We forget that he is God. Psalm 31:13 says, "For I hear the slander of many." Fear is on every side. I hear what they're saying. They're all so fearful. But as for me, the psalmist said, I trust in you, O Lord. As for me, I say, you are my God, and my times or my life is in your hand. What a wonderful psalm. To be reminded that while everybody else is panicking, while everybody else is afraid, while everybody else is freaking out, not us, no, not me, I will trust in you. For no matter what happens in my life is in your hands. That's the problem, isn't it? Is we live our lives as if our lives are in our own hands. See, God is going to do whatever He pleases. You know that, right? The book of Job tells us that He gets counsel from no man. He does whatever He pleases to do. And whether you and I like it or not, He's doing it exactly the way that He desires for it to happen. So why are we afraid? He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got your heartbeat in His hands, and He's got the whole world in His hands at the same time. Why are we so fearful? Oh, no, not me. I'm not taking another day in the new year fearing the things that are going on around me, because I know that God will accomplish His purposes. You see, every day of your life is going to be filled with fear until you truly believe that God is always with you. Until you truly believe that He is sovereignly in control of all things, and that no matter what happens, you are confident that He will ultimately accomplish His purpose in and around your life. Do you believe this? I'm not a big New Year's resolution person. I know a lot of people are. 5 goals or whatever. And back in the days when I did care, I was just fortunate to get one of those checked off the list. I'm really not a big New Year's resolution person, but if I could give you one in the backdrop of this season and from the context of this psalm, it would be this. And I put these in your notes. Simply write these things down. Number one, do not fear. Resolution number one, do not fear. Choose faith in 2021 over fear. Do not fear. Number two, be still. That's your second resolution. Stop. Stop. Don't fear. Be still. Don't be anxious. Don't be quarrelsome. Don't be so panicky about everything. Be still. And then here's the third one. Rest in God. Rest in God. That's the only way we're going to survive seasons of distress, is if we rest in Him. When you can't sleep at night, it's because you're not resting in Him. When you can't stop talking about everything that's going on in the news, it's because you're not resting in Him. When you're afraid to go out and live your life because I just don't want to get the virus, it's because you're not resting in Him. Friend, listen to me tonight. The only way we're ever going to survive seasons of distress is if we choose to rest in Him. In fact, it's the whole purpose of His salvation, that we might rest in Him from the cares of this world. It's natural for the unbelieving world to be up in arms, in turmoil, constant anxiety. But that's unnatural for God's people. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me and I will give you rest. Come to me. You're not going to find rest on Facebook. You're not going to find rest at Fox News. You're not going to find rest in any other thing that you can dream of. You will find rest when you come to Jesus. No fear in the new year, because He is with us. Because He is sovereign over all things. Because He will accomplish His purposes. They teach you in seminary that you ought to be able to tell your sermon in one statement. That if you can't tell what your sermon is about in one statement, you need to go back and do it all over again. Well, I'm not very good at that. It takes me a lot of statements to say it. But I did write one down this time. Here's Psalm 46 in one statement. You ready? This is it. We're going to pray. Psalm 46 in one statement. Here it is. God is in control, and I am in His care. God is in control, and I am in His care. Therefore, this is my second statement, we will not fear. We will not fear. Let's stand together for prayer tonight.